want to stand with me. I want to turn to the Word of God and bring a message to you today. I'm aware of the time and don't want to take too much of it. And just in case you don't know, those are like famous last words of preachers when they say that. But I'm going to try to be aware of that and not take too much. But we have been discussing the topic of our finances this entire month, and we're going to continue in that today. And just some amazing messages. And I know they don't necessarily want me to do this, but aren't you thankful? Pastor John and Pastor Kento, both incredible messages this month. So thankful for their ministry. Thank you for leading by example. It's been anointed. But we're going to look at this passage that is so familiar in Matthew chapter 6. We've looked at it a couple of times, but I'm going to want to go there again. Matthew 6 and verse 24. I'm going to pick up at the end of this kind of section. And this is famous sermon of Jesus. And he says in Matthew chapter 6, 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." We're going to talk about this today. My message title is Despise the Other. Despise the Other. You can be seated today. You know, this word mammon, you could really take so much time and just the entirety of a whole sermon to kind of unpack and uncover this word. And we see the King James translates this word mammon, and in other translations it uses wealth or riches or money. But if you were to ask the Encyclopedia Britannica, mammon, it would say a biblical term for riches, often used to describe the debasing influence of material wealth. And it recognizes that this term was used by Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. And if you look into the etymology, which is kind of the origin of words, there's a little bit of ambiguity on there. And it's somewhat debated by scholars and seems to be derived from Aramaic. And it's also rendered similarly in the Greek and in the Latin. And so, like I said, in this passage, in this translation, we see mammon, and then other ones variously use wealth, riches, or gain. And if you look at this, you look at kind of the Aramaic, you know, you look at the origins of some of the civilizations that really were using this word. You could look at the Assyrians, and you could probably surmise that they got this concept from their neighbors, which were the Babylonians. And you don't have to look very far in the Bible before you kind of understand what the Babylonians were all about. If you need a refresher, you can look at Genesis 11. They're the ones that erected the Tower of Babel, right? And so it's an attitude, this word mammon. It's an attitude, again, looking at this Tower of Babel. Really, it's the attitude that says, man doesn't need God. It's an attitude that says, I am completely self-sufficient. It's the truth is what mammon would tell you is you don't need God. And the reason you don't need God is because you can trust in money. You can put your trust in money. And I'm going to declare something today that may sound like I'm overemphasizing for effect, but I want you to hear me, and we're going to talk about this today. Money is spiritual warfare. Money is spiritual warfare. Now, that's a very churchy term, spiritual warfare. And so if you're a guest with us, or if this is an unfamiliar term, I know it can sound kind of spooky. And let me just say that we are not the kind of people that think there's a demon around every corner, or every single thing is spiritual, or if I get an upset stomach after breakfast, well, it's the devil, you know, upsetting my stomach, right? We're not trying to create an attempt to that everything is just an attack of the enemy, because sometimes it's my flesh. Sometimes the problem is me. And if I'm so quick to blame the devil on, you know, everything on the devil, then maybe I kind of overlook my own things that I need to work through. So I want to be careful with that. Now, that being said, I do also want you to know that we very much believe there is spiritual battles that are taking place in your life. I do not want to dismiss or treat flippantly the reality that you are under spiritual attack in your life, that the enemy would love to use any means that he can to subvert what God is doing, to derail you, to mess with your life. And so when we see in this passage that Jesus says, you cannot serve God and mammon. Whenever he speaks in this language, this serving, and you can really do a whole study of this word, the word that is rendered serve in English is not serve as in an employee, but it's actually more rendered as serve as in a slave. And that's why you see this, the idea of a slave and a master. And let me also be very clear that I make no mistake that Jesus declares that you can only serve one master, and God wants to be the ruler over your life. That is something that we have to come to grip with and understand today, that God doesn't want to just rule over 2 hours on Sunday. He wants to rule over all 24 hours of your day, 7 days a week. In Isaiah chapter 46, he says, remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me. We know that God is a jealous God. He doesn't want to share a with anybody else. He doesn't want to share your attention with anybody else. He doesn't want to share your heart with anyone else. And so if he says you can only serve one of these two masters, then the reality is that both of these masters want to rule. And just as much as God desires to rule over your heart, there are spirits like the thing we see here that's contrasted against God. The spirit of mammon wants to rule in your life. We can't be foolish enough to think that it doesn't have an impact on us. In fact, how can you know this? Well, let me ask you this. What is it that grips your heart with anxiety above all else? Chances are, maybe not right now, this moment, but there's probably a time in your life when the answer is money. My money. It can control my mind. Money. You can look all throughout culture. Money has exalted many men, but ruined many marriages. Money has divided many homes. Money has torn down many things that man has tried to build. Why? Because man has put undue trust in money. The spirit of mammon is looking for worshipers. Make no mistake. The spirit of riches wants to be the ruler of your life. Your money wants to rule your life. Now, money in itself is not inherently evil, but the love of money. The love of money. And here we use love in such a simple way. And I would even say, when we look at a verse like that, our tendency is to pacify the power of that. When he speaks about love, it's not just like, well, I can love you and I can love my friend and I can love this person. No, it's an exclusive. If you truly love one, you will hate the other. If you cling to one thing, then you have to despise the other. So the truth is, if I claim that I love God, I on the other side of that claim better be the reality that I despise the things that are not of God. And that's a big challenge in our life, to despise the love of money. That's tough. But here's the reality. Money, the love of money, will promise you everything and deliver to you nothing. Hebrews 13:5, the ESV says it like this. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We pursue money many times because we want protection. We want security. But true security can only come from a source that can't be taken away from us. Security doesn't come from money. Security comes from God and God alone. Did you know that the love of money can even sneak into a Christian's mindset? Because it tries to substitute itself in place of God. What does it look like? Sometimes it looks like this. God, I need you to do a miracle right now, or I need a lot of money. But here's the danger. If the entirety of our prayer is for God to give us money, who are we actually worshiping? Are we worshiping God or are we worshiping money? Is the question, God, I want you to do this, give me money? Or is it, God, I want you to do what you think needs to happen? Because if I'm not careful, I will treat God like a cosmic vending machine. Push button, get blessing. But if that's the way I treat God, then I would argue I'm not actually serving God. I'm serving my wallet, and I'm trying to make him bow to the same thing I'm bowing to. I can't serve money. I've got to serve God. And God is sovereign. You need God to work a miracle right now, or you need a lot more money. No, you just need God. Period. And whatever tool he decides to use to work about a solution in your life will be the best tool it could be. And money is not always the answer. Why? Because money's not going to bring you peace. Money's not going to bring you security. Why? Because it can all be taken away from you like that. I'm trying to tell somebody today that there is a God that you can place your hope in, that no matter what else happens in your life, you can stand and say, God, I have more than enough. I am blessed. And it has nothing to do with my finances. And it has everything to do with the one that provides for me. I know I'm excited and passionate today, but the truth is, what is the one thing that you think about every single day? Your money. Every day, this thought goes through our mind. What am I going to do? How is it going to work? Here's another false idea that, if we're not careful, Christians can fall into a framework of thinking that is really directed by this love of money, but tries to use the things of God. Oh, if God blessed me, just imagine how many people I could help. If I was rich, I could just do so many good things. I mean, that sounds great to me. Like, I just imagine myself with like $100 bills hanging out the window in my G-Wagon, and I'm just like driving by. Like, I'm just here to bless people, okay? But do we not do that? When we hear things like that, we're like, you know what? Man, I would just pay off the church. Man, if he made me a billionaire, I would just pay the church off. And if you want to do that, God bless you. I will receive it gladly. But what a false framework. Because this is what Mammon tricks you into thinking the most important question to answer is, what would I do if God gave me more money? Oh, if God gave me more money, I would... all the things I would do, how amazing would it be? I could just go minister to people in Hawaii every week, and it would just be so amazing. And that's a fun question to answer. But Mammon tricks you into that type of thinking when the real question that we need to ask, that I believe God is asking, the question is not, what would you do if I gave you more money? The question that God is asking you is, what have you done with what I have already given you? How are you stewarding what I've decided to bless you with? Luke 16, verse 10. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, there that word is again, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you can't even handle money, what makes you think I will give you true riches? It's a pretty direct word. And if ye have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters. There it is again. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. This is not a question of money as much as it is a question of stewardship. We get so caught up in the dollar amount when God wants the heart. Because mammon says buy and sell. God says sow and reap. Mammon says cheat and steal. God says give and receive. And we see in Matthew 6:19, again this paraphrasing, don't lay up treasures in heaven where moth, rust can destroy, where thieves can break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth or rust can't get to it. Thieves can't break in and steal it. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So One way to look at that is say, well, does that mean that everything on this earth is worthless? No, there is a reality that we can, on this earth, use our money and place our heart in things that have eternal value. So the way I see that is when I invest into things that have eternal value, I am laying up for myself treasures in heaven. You know, let me make it very simple. We give so that our heart will be in the right place. We give here locally because we understand that it's God's desire to work through the local church, the body of Christ, His church, His bride. We give here so that more people can come into the kingdom of God. We give so that we can have a place to come, and we have a place to come so that more people can come. And we're building so that we can have more space for more people to come into the knowledge and the truth of Jesus Christ. We give to missions so that we can put fuel on the wildfire of the gospel that is spreading across the globe, because we understand it's not just about what's happening here in Sterling Heights, but there is a mission that reaches far beyond what we can do. I truly believe that you're going to get to heaven and you may just interact with someone that says, thank you for giving. We've never met before, but I interacted with a missionary in Africa because you supported him and he was able to stay for another year. And because he was able to stay for another year, I was able to hear the gospel for the first time. Don't you doubt what God can do. If you'll give it to God, He can do more than you could ever imagine. What am I talking about? I'm talking about 5 loaves and 2 fish. You may look at it and say, well, I don't have enough to give. What you're preaching about is great, but I'm not rich. I don't care about how much it is that you have. I care about whose it is. And if you'll give it to God, He's the one that can break it, and it'll multiply and multiply and multiply. I've seen it in my own life. That is the understanding that we have, that God always blesses sacrifice. God will always meet you at a point of sacrifice and take what you have and make more of it than you ever could. Oh, can we thank God today? I need you to get this today. I want you to understand this today. I want you to grasp this today. Again, you may say, well, this doesn't really matter because I don't have that much money anyway. Again, if I had a lot of money, there's that mindset again. It doesn't matter. The point of this is not the dollar amount. It's the heart issue. That's why that woman that gave just a few pennies, he said, you see that? She gave more than all those people that came so proudly and dumped money out of their bags. Why? Because she gave from the right motivation. It's not always about the dollar amount. It's about your heart. And why am I doing this? What is my motivation? The one who is faithful in very little is also faithful in much. The one who is dishonest in very little is also dishonest in much. Again, it's not a simple thing to say, oh, I love God, but then you follow your money and it says something different. Because according to this, he says, if you truly love God, it necessitates that you despise the other. Do we despise the love of money? Do we despise that spirit of mammon? It can be difficult. And we learn all throughout the Bible, I just said it, but God blesses sacrifice. God blesses sacrifice. Well, that's Old Testament, right? I mean, Jesus died as a spotless lamb and he was the sacrifice, so we don't have to offer sacrifices anymore. Well, let's look at Romans chapter 12. Romans 12, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Yes, God sacrificed himself for us. So our response to that sacrifice, there's nothing I can do within myself to merit salvation. But my response to what God has done, my reasonable response should be to offer myself as a living sacrifice. If you're a parent, you understand sacrifice. If you have pursued any higher education, you understand sacrifice. If you have excelled at a skilled trade, you understand sacrifice. I could go on and on. There's so many times in your life when you are faced with the reality of sacrifice. But here's the point. If we're not careful, even in those moments of sacrifice, it will point us back to the wrong God and the wrong priorities. Because our hustle culture says sacrifice so that you can get money. That at the end of sacrifice, the reward is money. But the truth is that we can understand, you know what? God, I can heap mountains upon mountains of money, but what is it actually worth? I'll tell you what it's actually worth. You look at this, Matthew 16. Then Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The point of this is not at the end of the day that you will have more money because you sacrificed, although I believe God will bless you. Look, there's two things that are both true. Number one, God blesses sacrifice. I understand it. I'm a living testament that if you give unto God, whether it's monetary, if you sacrifice, there's so many things that God has called us to sacrifice. And can God bless you abundantly in your finances? Yes, he absolutely can. But do we give so that we can be blessed? No, we sacrifice so that we can embrace a life of sacrifice and so that we can understand that there is joy in giving. You want joy? You're not going to have joy because you've got so much money. You're going to have joy because you've learned how to give it away. You're going to get joy because you've learned how to bless other people. You're going to get joy because you've embraced the reality of sacrifice. But one thing about sacrifice, God loves to bless sacrifices. The point of this is not a get-rich-quick scheme, although I truly believe that God is the one that can pour out blessings that you can't contain. The destination is that we would understand the necessity of sacrifice to be like Christ. You want to be like Christ? You want to imitate Christ? Get comfortable with sacrifice. We want to imitate Jesus? We want to be like Jesus? Get really comfortable denying yourself. You want to imitate what Christ would want you to do and how he would want you to act and who he'd want you to be? Then we better get really comfortable sacrificing and learn that there's joy in giving. Acts 20, 35. In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. What am I challenging you to sacrifice today? What am I saying? What's the sacrifice? Everything. In a word, everything. I'm not saying you have to give all your money, but what I'm saying is that we're to offer God everything. It's not that we have to give everything to God. It's that we have to allow God to direct everything. What I want to say is, Lord, give me wisdom on what I should do, because I know the way that you would direct me in is going to be so much better, because I want to trust in you with everything. I want to lean not on my own understanding, and all my ways acknowledge you, and what? And he shall direct thy path. Lord, if I want you to direct my path, I've got to trust you with everything. I've got to trust you with my finances. If I want to be directed by God, I've got to give everything to him and submit it to him. And guess what? When you do get money, when you do get blessings, does the enemy leave you alone? No. No, there's another spirit that likes to come. And I'm not going to get into it today. We might get into it next week. But in a word, this spirit is pride. You know what pride says? I earned this. I deserve this. What a dangerous spirit. If you're not getting what I'm saying today, let me just make it really plain to you. The devil hates when you give. He hates when you give. How do I know? Let me tell you. If you haven't been listening yet, tune in real quick, because I'm just gonna recap a lot of this. When we give, it gives our heart to God and not to mammon. When we give, it ensures that God is our actual master. Why? Because a mammon will never tell you to give things away. It will only tell you to take what you can for yourself. So when I give, it makes sure that my heart is in the right place. Guess what? When I give, it makes the kingdom of God bigger, because I can give to people and that money can do more than I could do with it right here. That's why we give to missions. That's why we help other people, because this is a kingdom thing. And if I give and it makes the kingdom of God bigger, guess what? When I give, live, that means it makes the devil's kingdom smaller. So I want to reduce his influence. I want to reduce his ability. When we baptize somebody in the name of Jesus, we pull them out of the grasp of Satan and we transfer them into a new life in Christ. That's why I give. I give because it makes me more like Jesus Christ. I give because it allows more people to encounter the gospel. I'm telling you, this is not just a high and lofty thing. This is a practical thing. It's so spiritual to us today. Stand with me. I'm closing. So, we recognize, as I said from the outset, money is spiritual warfare. I know I've brought to you today a very passionate message on such a practical topic of our money. But what's interesting is money is the temptation you will face every single day. Think about it. What else do you have to make a decision about every single day more than money? Money. Think about how many hundreds of decisions you make a week about your money. And every decision is an opportunity to begin slowly shifting my priorities away from God or keeping them on God. Money is a spiritual warfare. So today, again, if this whole framework of conversation is somewhat new, let me ask you a couple questions. When you think about money, does it bring anxiety? Does it bring peace? Really, if it does either one of those, you might be in trouble, because if money brings you peace and you feel peace right now, what happens when the unexpected happens? What happens when there's, and I'm not trying to be a, you know, speak a doomsday over you, but we've all been through experiences in life, unexpected expenses, right? So if money brings you peace, if you think about your money like, oh, I'm so thankful, and you know, I just, oh man, I just feel so good about it. Well, the danger is I place my peace in something that can't hold it, can't hold the weight of my soul. But if it brings me anxiety, does it not rule me? Let me tell you about this. If you have anxiety over money, I bet it's the last thing you think about when you go to bed, and it's the first thing you think about when you wake up. You can see it. Money has destroyed marriages, torn down and toppled governments, enslaved people. There's a spiritual aspect to it. Spiritual, plain and simple. So, okay, how do I get rid of that? I'm hesitant to give the numbers, but someone mentioned this to me and I went and looked it up. So interesting that they did a study of people in different tax brackets, Americans in different tax brackets. And the percentage of people in the lowest tax bracket living paycheck to paycheck was the same in the higher tax bracket living paycheck to paycheck. But guess what? I'm sure there's a big portion of this that said, you know what I need that'll fix everything? More money. But money can't fix your priorities. Money can't fix your soul. Sometimes money just becomes a megaphone for what's already in your heart. But it can distort. So how do we resist this temptation? How do I make sure that I have the right perspective? How do I conquer this spirit of mammon? Well, let me give you a very practical thought. Why would you try to resist a temptation tomorrow that you can eliminate today? I'm telling you right now, tomorrow you're going to face decisions of money. So what's the answer? Well, we already preached about it. We call it first fruits. Give to God first. Hey, before I even get in that debate in my mind, before I even get in that fight, God, I'm going to give to you because I want to make sure my priorities are correct. I want to make sure that my spirit is right, because money can be so spiritual. You know it's true. If money has ever given you anxiety, it's true. If money has ever got in the middle of a relationship, it's true. If money has ever corrupted a thought process, it's true. The love of money is the root of all evil. So how can we do it? Give. give till it hurts. Give sacrificially. Why? Because the love of money will never motivate you to give. It will never allow you to give. But when I give, I say, you know what? Not only do I love God, I despise that spirit that would want to take over my heart. When I give to God, I very practically despise what the enemy would want me to do. I despise that. How do I despise it? I give. I give sacrificially. I prioritize giving. I say, how can I give? What can I do? Because I want my priority to be in the right place, because I want my spirit to be in the right place. But you know what else you can do? I want to look at Old Testament real quick. Moses, the people, the Israelites have been led out of Egypt. They've led through the wilderness. They've gone through so many trials, and they are on the precipice of entering into the promised land. And look what Moses is trying to prepare their mind. He's trying to prepare their thought process. Look at this, Deuteronomy chapter 8. I'm reading the New Living Translation's conversational nature of this translation. Look at this. But that is the time to be careful. He's talking to people. They've been through all the trial. They're about to possess material things, about to be blessed material. Look at this. But that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Is that not a depiction of our life today? Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and to test you for your own good. He did all of this so that you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Look at verse 18. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful. Yes, I believe that the Lord wants you to do well. It says, remember the Lord your God who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. But look at this, verse 19. But I assure you of this, if you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods, worshiping and bowing down to them, you will certainly be destroyed. Just as the Lord has destroyed other nations in your path, you also will be destroyed if you refuse to obey the Lord your God. What's amazing about this is he says, yes, you're going to be successful. Yes, you're going to walk in and inhabit some things I have promised you. But when you do this, be so careful. What is the commandment? Don't forget the God that brought you through all of the trials, and don't forget the reason that you have any blessing. So church, there's two things I want to tell you. Number one, we better embrace a life of sacrifice. We better embrace a life of giving. If we want to be like Jesus Christ, we better get comfortable with sacrificing. But when we do well, when you are blessed, and I pray that you are, and I believe that you will be, but when you are blessed, we better not forget that everything we have comes from God, and there is no one else that can bless us. There is no one else that led us through our wilderness season. That the same God that brought you through is the same God that's going to bless you. Lest we look at ourselves and say, look what I did, look what I accomplished. No, it's God. Let me make it practical to First Church. I don't care if we have all the great carpet. I don't care if someone puts us in the newspaper. What I want to see is people being baptized in Jesus' name and receiving the Spirit of God. What good is it if we look great, if people are transformed? What is the point if people don't come to know God? What is the point if we don't serve our community? What is the purpose? It's not for me, it's for Him. Oh God, let us never forget what you've done. So today, as I come to a close, I know this has been a unique message, and I just want to encourage you today. I'm going to open these altars in just a moment, and I want to encourage you to say, Lord, let me embrace a life of sacrifice. What is it that I can sacrifice? Why? Because God, I want to make sure that my spirit is right. I want to make sure that money doesn't ensnare me in this trap where my spirit gets so consumed with money, because it can cloud everything. It can destroy everything. If you allow it, money can destroy every relationship that God has brought together. Money can destroy every priority. Money can destroy every good thing that God has destined, but it doesn't have to, because you can give it to God. And when you give it to God, that doesn't mean it's all going to be taken away. No, in fact, it may be more blessed than before, but we don't do it for blessings. We do it to embrace sacrifice. But when you are blessed, don't forget that it's God that's blessed you. Don't forget that it's God that's been there all along. So at this time, would you just come and pray for a few moments? I want to encourage you, whether you want to come and pray at the front or just bow your head where you are, I want to just encourage you to respond to the word of God. However you feel comfortable, would you just begin to pray, Lord, I don't want to be ruled by my money. Lord, I don't want money to dictate what I do with my life. I want to give my life to you. Lord, you're the only one that can lead me. You're the only one that can guide me. Oh yes, can we begin to pray together? Lord, let me embrace sacrifice. Yes, that's it, church. In the name of Jesus, God, I want to give you my life. I want to present my body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you. And my reason I will serve us in Jesus' name.